The January 6th hearings in America resumed this past week. The US Congress's investigation into the storming of the Capitol 18 months ago. And at issue was whether Donald Trump's claims about the election being stolen from him led directly to what happened as his supporters gathered with a sense of grievance. And then we know the rest. Joining us is our US correspondent, Karen Kasler, the State House Bureau Chief for Public Radio and Television in the state of Ohio. Hello, Karen. Thank you for joining us. You've just had a 9-hour drive.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I've been going up and down the eastern seaboard of the United States, going to New Jersey and Maryland and Virginia and in Washington, D.C. as well. So it's been a fun couple weeks.
Okay. Yeah, you have been busy. The hearings of the House Committee into the invasion of the Capitol, I think we're a bit confused about how long this process will go on for.
Yeah, I don't know that the committee, the select committee, has put any final timeline on it. I mean, we have two hearings that are likely for this coming week. We've had three hearings in total so far. I'm not sure exactly when the final deadline is, but they're trying to establish their case here to the American public, I think. And so I think they're prepared to go on as long as they feel that they can get the compelling testimony that they want to present and that the networks will agree to continue to carry the hearings, which so far now we've had more networks carrying the hearings than we did on the first night.
Yeah. Essentially, there are two questions without going again into all the complicated goings on we remember from the time and the dozens of lawsuits around the counting of votes and so on. How guilty is Trump of inciting to riot? And also his attempt to use his vice president to defy historical precedent and reject the electoral count, which would have presumably plunged America into some kind of constitutional crisis. Are these the core issues?
Well, certainly the pressure that he put on Vice President Mike Pence, that was a core issue in the last hearing, the hearing on Thursday. And it really was some incredibly compelling testimony where you really saw the pressure and essentially the bullying that President Trump was doing to try to convince Vice President Mike Pence that he did have the authority to do this, to basically overrule the results of a fair and duly prosecuted election, which former Attorney General Bill Barr had even said was BS, but he used the actual word. And that was another moment of quite interesting testimony. And Pence, he, in the end, as we all know, did not go along with that. But the tension that was described in this of Pence, you know, having one of his staff members investigate whether he did have the authority that the constitutional attorney John Eastman said he did to override the election, and then finally concluding that he did not. And of course, that was when the crowds were descending on the Capitol and there was a gallows built and people were shouting, "Hang Mike Pence." There were insurrectionists some 40 feet away from Mike Pence during that insurrection. And meanwhile, President Trump is tweeting out that Pence didn't have the courage to do the right thing, as he put it, which, of course, he didn't have the authority to do that. There's no provision for that in the U.S. Constitution.
You've just raised two vital issues again, the media carrying the hearings, and in the case of Fox, not, or in a box on the corner of the screen. Fox News commentators like Tucker Carlson have pushed back on the question of whether what happened constituted the word you've used, an insurrection, the word used by all mainstream media except Fox, the only person shot to death being Ashley Babbitt, one of the protesters. So did the swarming of the building, because this is an argument in America, isn't it, constitute insurrection? There were obviously bad actors trying to find politicians. There was obviously danger, but there were also police taking selfies with protesters, Karen.
Right. And there are still some investigations. There was a report that was done on what the Capitol Police, why they were not better prepared and weren't pushing back in mass against these protesters. So there's still a lot of questions about that. But the issue of whether this was an insurrection, I think that this committee is laying out the case very clearly that it was. I mean, Tucker Carlson has been falsely claiming that no one was armed who came to the Capitol. That's not true. In fact, just last Friday, or yesterday, as a matter of fact, somebody pleaded guilty to being armed at the Capitol on January 6th. There have been others who have been accused. I mean, we're starting to see the results of the investigations that have been going on into the individuals who showed up on January 6th. And we're hearing that they were clearly prepared. They were taking their directions from Donald Trump. The Proud Boys were apparently talking about doing whatever they felt needed to be done against Mike Pence, including severe violence. And so we're finding out some of that information. I think Fox was kind of shamed into not carrying these hearings because the ratings were pretty good on the first night of the hearings. I mean, not Super Bowl good in the United States, but 20 million people watched that first night, which is pretty good for a governmental hearing. Even though it was a made-for-TV government hearing with a lot of video and a lot of very clear testimony, whether the interest is maintained throughout this process, I don't know. But I think the committee is really trying to make their case to the American public as we come closer to the midterm elections in November. And Donald Trump may be announcing that he might run for president again in 2024.
I'll get there. How did the Capitol Police Force, with, I was reading, more than 2,000 personnel and a budget of $460 million, fail to repel this invasion?
And there's been some investigation on that. Even just like a week after the insurrection in 2021, Politico had an article talking about a breach, the breach of the Capitol was a failure of security leadership and that changes were already being made. In September, there was a report from the Inspector General who said that the Capitol Police did have some advanced warnings, including the potential of violence against Congress, but officers were instructed not to use their most aggressive tactics. And so we're still trying to find out exactly what happened on that. I think those are legitimate questions. And I think that there are a lot of people who are wondering exactly what happened and why were there a few videos that showed police welcoming in or taking selfies or whatever. But the video that's been shown during the hearings from the January 6th committee have been demonstrating the true violence that some of these, the people who stormed the Capitol were committing against police officers. And it should be noted that there were police officers who died by suicide after this. And there were serious injuries. 100 police officers, around that number, were injured in this riot.
You see, people who don't know the name Tucker Carlson, for their benefit, he has the biggest cable audience in the US in his time slot, and he called the attack forgettably minor by recent standards. But the White House calls it one of the darkest days in your national history. You see, this isn't just division of opinion in America, is it? It's also being divided over actual facts. Between 60% and 70% of Republicans still suspect voter fraud. So how does your country get past that?
Well, I think that's one of the most interesting things about this congressional hearing. Typically, congressional hearings will feature Republicans and Democrats basically arguing over the facts, and therefore a clear story doesn't emerge from a hearing because the Republicans are saying one thing, Democrats are saying something else. In these hearings, the Democrats who dominate the committee and the two Republicans on the committee are in lockstep. They are telling the same story. And so that's what they're trying to make sure that people understand, is that these are the facts as have been established by, you know, thousands of documents and hundreds of interviews and all of this mass investigation over the last year and a half. They're trying to lay out a clear and convincing fact-based story. And you talk about Tucker Carlson having the largest cable audience. I mean, his show has about 3-4 million viewers a night. Compare that to 20 million viewers on the first night of the January 6th committee hearing. So it does give you a sense that while he may be the most watched cable personality, it's not that many people in some respects.
Yeah, that's an interesting audience comparison. Will the hearings impact the midterms, or is the economy where you are such a big issue that what the committee finds in the end will be overshadowed? Because you've got the cost of energy up 40%, you've got food up 10%, you've got inflation nudging 9%, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just driving around over the last 2 weeks and having to fill my gas tank a couple of times, it is pretty expensive. And I think that for most people, those are the kind of issues that really dominate, is how much money do I have in my bank account? And so I think these hearings are important to people who've been watching the whole process over the last year and a half, who were horrified at what they saw on January 6th, who want somebody or a group of somebodies to be held accountable. Whether it makes a difference in November, which is a lifetime away in politics in a sense, I don't know. But I think the more people who are named, for instance, we're finding out that Representative Barry Loudermilk, a Republican from Georgia, a congressman, led a tour the day before the insurrection with people who then turned up at the insurrection. You know, these kind of specific names as they come out could maybe make a difference in November, but these are real questions that I think are going to take a little while to resolve.
Will the hearings, though, even if he isn't convicted on criminal charges, make Donald Trump unelectable in 2024? Will he even run?
Well, I think that that's the two Republicans on the committee. I think that they're trying to sever that relationship between Donald Trump and the Republican Party, trying to make the case that Donald Trump needs to no longer be the leader of the Republican Party. Whether that's going to happen or not is the question. I think a lot of Republicans have looked at Donald Trump and what's been happening over the last year and a half, certainly the insurrection, and said, this is not who we want to lead the party. But the people who support him are really strongly supportive, whether they are a minority of the party, and a very vocal minority, or whether they comprise the majority, is a real issue. And I think we're finding out throughout the primary elections that we've been having in Ohio and Pennsylvania, there's Georgia coming up. I mean, these are starting to tell us about where people are in the individual states and how much they support Donald Trump and his anointed picks for those offices.
Just quickly before we go, cross-party support for gun control will see tougher checks, I think, for buyers aged under 21, like the shooter at the Uvalde school, and a cracking down on illegal gun purchases. The latter would seem a bit harder to implement than the former. How much of a difference do you think what is being discussed will make to stopping mass shootings, Karen?
This is one thing that I think so many Americans are frustrated by. I mean, most overwhelmingly Americans support things like universal background checks, but lawmakers in Congress don't seem to be interested in passing those. There was some discussion. It seems to have gone nowhere, and we're still waiting for something to happen on that.
Thank you, Karen. We'll let you unpack. Thanks so much for being able to join us.
Great to talk to you. Thanks.